Good job, guys. The power and majesty of the Lord Himself. How great thou art. I want to talk to you about 10 V's of a healthy kingdom church. Here's what I want you to do. When it's all said and done, when we walk out of the building here in just a few minutes, I want you to take at least two of these and promise God you'll do everything you can to make them better in your life. Now, it's probably more than that, but at least two. That's homework for this week. So as we're talking about these and sharing about the scripture this morning, you put a check mark. You're not turning anything in, but God knows your heart. And you decide on two of these that you may need to do a little better on. And that's what I'm asking for. I believe that's what God is asking for us to do this morning. And they're brief and they're quick. Number one, the first B, what do we have to be as individuals in a healthy kingdom church? And by that, I mean a kingdom church in terms of an evangelical church, a church that says and makes without apology, Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven and stands on the Word of God as the inerrant, infallible Word of God. Do you know there are churches in our convention? And I'll say that about our convention because that's who we are. That some preach there are other ways in addition to Jesus whereby you can go to heaven. I fail to see where they get that. I can't find it in my Bible. Maybe they got another one they've added to, and the Bible says something about adding to it. I am committed to the Bible as the inerrant, delivered to man without error under God. Infallible, it is God's supreme authority for you and me and for His church today. And I am committed in the exclusive understanding that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. When the Lord looked at Thomas right square in the eye, and He used the definite article in the Greek language, which is so much more important in the Greek language in many respects than it is in English. And He said, Thomas, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. There is no way you can put gray in that. It's either Jesus or not. And yet we have a world that's teaching there are all other ways to heaven. The first one's on the screen. Be watchful. First 10 verses of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 talk about the fact that Jesus is coming again. But notice what Paul says to the church. He says, I don't need to spend a lot of time on this. You know this. You're believers. You're children of the light, not of darkness. You know Jesus is coming back again. And I stand before you to tell you that Jesus is coming, and I believe soon. And let me say something to you. Only the Father knows when the Son is coming to take His bride. That's the glorious appearance. That is the rapture of the church, where Jesus Christ does not come to this earth at that moment. He comes in the clouds, and those who've died, according to 1 Thessalonians before us, believers that is, that body will literally be recreated from that earthly tomb and will rise out of that grave. And then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up, that is, raptured together, to meet the Lord in the air. I said that yesterday at Raider's funeral. And I'll tell you what, folks, I say it all the time. I hope God allows me maybe to be in my car driving by the graveyard, because, man, I want to see that. You'll see it, trust me. That's the rapture of the church. Only the Father knows. But I want to ask you something. Suppose today the Father, it's time, and Jesus came back to get His church. Would you be ready? Can you say without a doubt in your life, you know for certain that you've invited Jesus Christ into your life, and if the rapture took place today, you'd be one flying? Or would you be left behind? Be watchful. How are you? I'm not talking about going outside every day and keeping your eyes on the eastern sky or watching and looking up like this. Living a life of vigilance, of watchful, of being ready. Are you ready? Do you know that? People tell me today, well, Randy, I sure hope so. Folks, I don't hope. I know, because the Bible told me exactly what to do, that I am in need of Jesus Christ, that I had to come to the place in my life where I realized I was a sinner. I had to confess that to God and realize that He died and took every sin I'd ever commit on a cross for me. And I had to accept that and to intentionally invite Him into my life through repentance and faith. What that means is you turn from sin, turn toward Jesus Christ, and make Him your focus, not the world. And all of a sudden, something miraculous happens. The Holy Spirit of God literally comes within your body, your heart, and lives within you. Sealed until the day of redemption. I've studied that for 30 years, trying to get something perhaps out of it that's not there. It's not there, ladies and gentlemen. When God saved you, He saved you once and for all. He saved you lock, stock, and barrel. People say today, well, I'll accept Jesus as Savior right here, and about 20 years later, I'll just accept Him as Lord. That is not taught in the Word of God. When you ask Jesus Christ to come in your life, He comes in with everything He has. Matter of fact, He tells you that you are a joint heir. You're an adopted son. What I own, you own, the Lord says. Be watchful. Are you? Well, the second one is found in verse 11. The second be, what are we to be? Helpful. These are so elementary for all of us, folks. You could fill in the blanks if you read the scripture long enough and figure me out what I'm putting on here. But folks, the Bible says to comfort and to edify one another just as you are doing. The Bible, the word here is exhortation. It means to encourage and build up. It is a sad fact that many people leave our churches and our convention and other evangelical churches in worse shape than when they came on Sunday morning. We have forgotten as a church the biblical understanding of exhortation to build one another up. Not gossip, not, well, I can't believe that person's here today. They haven't been here in 50 years. Or I can't, can you believe what he just did? Can you? Do you see how Satan gets in that, folks? And he starts picking out the little stuff, and he gets a hold of church folks like never believe. Be helpful. Exhort. I want to challenge you before you leave here today. You find you five people at least, and you exhort them. You build them up. It may be a simple thank you. It may be, I am so glad to see you today. You've been an inspiration to my life. Whatever it may be, before you walk out of this building on your way out, you just find you five people and edify, build them up. Do that. That's another homework assignment. Here's the third one, found in verse 20, 12 and 13. Be respectful. Bible says, recognize those who labor among you and are over you, and esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Esteem them very highly in love, those who work. Paul wants the church to know fully that those who do the chores, those who are put in charge spiritually by the Lord, are those that must and are called upon by God to encourage the people. And the Bible is calling upon, let's encourage those folks. We've left out. And it seems today that the word respect all over this country is no longer there. Folks don't respect one another anymore. They don't respect one another on the outside of this building. But the Bible is talking about me and you right here. I'm not talking about outside. The Bible is calling upon every one of us in this room to respect each other. Period. You may not agree with them, but you respect them. Wow. What a gift. What a lifestyle is to understand the word respect. Recognize all of those. Yes, it's talking about those who spiritually lead you, but I want to take it one step farther to each one of us. Because God has called us a priest. God has called us the fact that we can minister to one another. And the Bible says, okay, exhort, build up. Watch for his kingdom returning. Watch for the very fact that he's coming back and going to take his church out. But be respectful. There's a fourth one found in verse 14. What are we to be? Involved. Involved. Warn those who are unruly, literally weak, lazy. Comfort the discouraged, it says. That word lazy or unruly, the military term that is referred to a soldier who broke rank and did not stand in his place. Too many believers are not where they belong. They belong in the ranks of the Lord and of the church. The Bible says for you and me to come out from among them and be separate. The Bible says to commit and dedicate your physical body literally to the Lord Jesus Christ. We're to stick out like sore thumbs. The church has been far too silent, too long. And as a result, we've got sin such as what we discussed a few minutes ago with the gay and lesbian society and homosexuality, which is clearly taught against in the scripture. It's in our public schools. It's everywhere to the point now our schools are allowing a moment of silence. I'm outraged by that. It's my fault. Let's just put the blame where it lies. No, we're not committing to sin, but folks, us not saying anything is dangerous. And I'm talking about evangelical Christians across the globe. Be involved. Be involved without question. Don't be unruly, that is, like a soldier who broke rank and didn't stand in his place. We need you in your place. We need you serving in Vacation Bible School. We need you ministering to children in our church. We need you everywhere. We need you. Someone changing our sign, we need. I could go on and on of small things that we need. That this old preacher just physically can't get it all done. Nor should I, or nor should you. Be involved like never. And folks, let me tell you something. We need each other in this 21st century, I think. Not that we haven't needed each other in the past, but the world thinks we're crazy. The world thinks we're a bunch of narrow-minded, disillusioned idiots, to use the term, and that's exactly what it is. My daughter made me see a book she's reading. Was all so excited about it last night. I can't remember the title, but I'm going to get her to get me a copy. I want to read it. It's the story of a scientist, modern day, right now, genuine scientist, but he's a sold-out believer in Jesus Christ. And in that book, he refutes the evolutionary theory to them. And this man is very intellectual. He's head of the DNA research stuff across the country. And he's a sold-out believer and a scientist. Thank God men and women are standing up and saying, enough is enough. Let me tell you what I believe and why. Wow. Wow. The fifth thing I want to tell you about. Not only that you're involved in verse 15, this may sound interesting to you, but it's just simply be beneficial. Beneficial. The Bible says, literally in verse 15, don't repay evil for evil, but always pursue that which is good. Retaliation is never the spiritual thing to do. We are to look out after each other and see that no believer, Paul says, renders evil for evil without question. The verse clearly states that we are responsible for each other and we are responsible for how you and I respond to evil in itself. Not to mistreat anyone. Not to mistreat another believer or unbeliever. Folks, we literally do what it says. Be of worth. My dad had a favorite statement. And many of you may have heard him say that statement to you. He carried it on a little card. And I have that little card at my house. And it said, when you see someone without a smile, give him yours. And I used to think as his child, But you know, as I've grown older, I wish we could learn to give our smiles away. You know, Christians walk around like dead folks, physically. Have you ever noticed that? Look at the person next to you. Do they look dead or alive? Go ahead and look at them. Do they look dead or alive? You can tell them this now and you're legal. I'm telling you, folks, we walk through the world, and I do too. This is not some preacher telling this congregation and not doing it. We walk through this world, and it's oh, woe is me. I'll never. I'm blood bought, sin changed, totally reconciled, given to Jesus Christ, changed without question, going home when I die, and he's with me now. That's all I need to know. That ought to cause some kind of shouting in the shouting ground territory. You know? Folks, be beneficial. Let your faith be known. Be excited about it. No, we don't have the... Sometimes we have lousy days, and sometimes we have worse than lousy days. But God hasn't left us in those lousy days. He's with us. Be beneficial. The sixth thing I want to tell you about this morning follows right in line with it in verse 16. Two little words. Well, it's one word here. Be joyful. I told you at Christmas, and I tell you now, an unbeliever can't experience that word. Cannot experience that word. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Folks, just, and me too. Convinced through our mind and let it come up from my heart that the faith really believes it and knows it in our heart. Be joyful. Joyful is a spiritual, deep-seated, not feeling, but a fact. It means to rejoice, literally, without question. It is the word joy. It is the word chara in the Greek. The word charis is grace. Isn't it amazing? They're all in one type word in the Greek language. Spiritual joy, spiritual fact that we can have joy, spiritual joy for the child of God. How are you doing on your joy? No matter what, rejoice. But what does that little verse say? It's two words. It says, literally, if I'm right, rejoice. What else does it say? What's that next word? Always. I got to work on that one. Do you? The seventh is found in verse 17. Is be prayerful. Now, the Bible says to pray without ceasing. Literally in the Greek, it means to pray continually. How many times did you pray this week? How much did you pray? Was your heart an attitude of prayer all week long to listen to God? We've misdefined, we've messed up prayer. Prayer is a dialogue, not a monologue. Don't forget that. The Bible says to be still and know that I am God. Have you just been riding down the street, been at your home, nobody's there, whatever, and you sit down and you said, Lord, I just want to be still and know. I'm not going to say a word. I just want to be still and know you're God. Wow. And then God breaks through that silence. You ever had those times? Folks, prayer is more than verbiage. Prayer is more than writing down words and words. Prayer is an attitude of the heart. Prayer is the fact that our life is lived. How are you doing on your prayer life? In a few short weeks, I'm going to do five messages, literally, on prayer, and it's going to culminate together of all of us praying together. The strength of the church, now listen closely to me, is found in corporate prayer. The strength of the church will be discovered and will be seen as the church comes together to pray. A good friend of mine was with First Baptist Woodstock for years. He helped me a little bit on my dissertation when I was writing on that a few years ago, Dr. John Franklin. And I hope I can get him here during that time. I don't know if I'll be able to at that point. But his understanding of the Scripture, and as I read and as I study and preparing for those messages, once again, it's being brought home free to me by God Himself. That's where the strength is, Randy. The strength is God's people come together to pray for God's church. And that's what we'll be doing like never before. The eighth B I want to tell you about this morning is found in verse 18. It's be thankful. Have you said thank you, God, today? Ten lepers were cleansed. How many came back to say thank you? But if you go back and read that scripture, something else happened to that last leper that came back to say thank you. His life has changed. He was saved. Folks, we in our world today, people just don't say thank you anymore much. Maybe before you leave here, and you can do this during the invitation, you just want to go to somebody and say thank you. You don't know how their week's been, and they come into this house of worship. Maybe just a hug from you. Maybe just a handshake. And maybe just a word, thank you, will change their lives. I have a Christian clowning friend of mine. His name is Tom Reeves. We used to do a lot of work together in our clowning days. Tom was in Nashville, Tennessee, and he was going to do a birthday party for one of his church members as a clown, Christian clown. He had someone else drive him because, once again, it's against the law if you're in a wide hair to drive in makeup and you're distracting. And they drove up and parked on the side of the street right next to the house they were to go in. And Tom noticed not the house he was going to the birthday party, you could hear him in the backyard, but this house next door, the curtains were drawn, all the drapes were, and the blinds were shut, except for what looked to be like a dining room or living room. There was a little slit, and you could see that there was a face outlining that slit. And in clowning, Christian clowning, and any type of professional clowning, you're taught what's called the clown wave. Clown wave is that you never not acknowledge someone that's looking at you. And so the clown wave is this. When I've got makeup on, it looks like I'm smiling. You know? And you, like this. Well, Tom did what he thought normal, what he'd always done as a clown. He's in clown makeup. He's on his way to this house as a Christian clown to be a part of this birthday party. And he looked up to that lady, and he stopped. Matter of fact, he said he just kind of laid back on the car like this. And he waved. And then he went on. Never thought twice about it again. Until one day he received a letter about 2 weeks later in his office. Dear Dr. Reeves, you don't know me, but my name is. She went on to identify herself. Do you remember the lady who was looking through the curtain at you? And you took time just to wave at me. Tom says the letter is about 3 pages. And basically she says in that letter, what you don't understand, Dr. Reeves, is that the loaded pistol was at my side. I was at that moment ready to take my life because I felt like no one cared. And your wave changed all that for me. Guess what the last 2 words of her letter said? Thank you. Find you some people this week, unbelievers, believers. Just say thank you. Number nine. Verses 19 and 20, be careful. And the Bible says, don't you quench the spirit or despise the prophecies. Quench literally means to put out or extinguish. Never should we be guilty of doing anything that would quench the Holy Spirit of God for any reason. Never should we do anything that would allow us to become a stumbling block to our brothers and sisters and to the unbelieving world. When you quench, you snuff out, and you stop. The Holy Spirit is always at work in the life of a believer to lead him to do God's will, and the believer should never quench the Spirit's work by ignoring him, by neglecting him, by disobeying him, and by simply procrastinating. There are a lot of dream stealers out there, folks. Satan's ahead of it. And he'll make you think you're not good enough. He'll make you think you're the worst of all. He'll make you think they don't need you at that church. Look at all those other people. See how the devil makes you think? Be careful, ladies and gentlemen. Don't stifle the work of the Holy Spirit in your life. Don't stop it, literally. Don't despise prophecies. When I talked to you in the first one about the fact that Jesus is coming again, take it seriously. People say, well, he didn't come in thousands of years. What's going to make him come now? Ladies and gentlemen, the only thing that's going to make him come now is his dad tapping him on the shoulder, and that could happen before we walk out of this building. And then there's a tenth one. And I'll hush. It's verse 21. Be natural. Be natural. Bible says to test all things and hold fast to what is good. I like to refer to this person as a Christian natural. Christian natural. Have you ever known someone who's just a natural? I mean, it's the way you, that's the way we're supposed to be. Our life, folks, and I'm as guilty as all of us in this house, our life should be lived by the overflow. We have far too long seen the church as a spiritual gas station. Just come in each week, fill me up, let me go home, bring me back next week, and let me fill up. Just feed me again today, I'll come back next week, and you feed me again. Ladies and gentlemen, that is not taught in the Word of God. And whoever sold you that lie is not spiritual. What's happening in our churches today is people see them so much as a refilling station that they're not active anymore. The church exists for him. I want to tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. Worship does not exist for me and you. We exist to worship God. And if you come into this worship house with any other motive than to worship God, you are here for the wrong reason. You are not here for what you can get out of it. You are not here for what anything else. You are here to worship God. And ladies and gentlemen, when you stand in the presence of Almighty God, you can't leave like you got here. But we have somehow said, fill me up, Lord. This pious, holy, super spiritual attitude. Fill me up, God. And we go out and live like Satan and hell itself when we hear it. Something's wrong. And I believe this scripture tells us what's wrong. This is not a holy filling station, ladies and gentlemen. And it's really not a hospital for sinners. Bless God, it's an army of saved people by the grace of God, ready to chase hell in a water pistol, whatever it's going to take to get it done. God's people's going to be an army. The Bible says, move on, army. The song says, onward, Christian soldiers, not sitting. Oh, folks. Please, please, may God give us strength to get rid of this attitude that the church and worship is a filling station. We are here to give praise and glory to Almighty God. Did you worship today? It's not my fault if you didn't. It's not the person's fault next to you if you didn't. It's your fault. It's your fault. So what do? Do we leave here like we got here this morning? Did you mark at least two of those you need to work on? Would you be willing in a time of invitation to say to God from where you're sitting or on your knees before him right here at this altar, Lord, I'm going to work on these. I promise. Give me wisdom. Give me understanding. Help me to know. Be watchful, as it says. And they're on the screen for you. Be helpful. Be respectful. Be involved. Be beneficial. Be joyful. Be thankful. Be prayerful. Be careful. Don't quench the spirit. And live from the overflow. That's what makes a healthy church. I failed. I don't know about y'all. I'm working. But I fall flat on my face. And I am so glad when I fall flat on my face, the Lord Jesus just picks me up and says, Randy, you blew it again. But if you'll get on this path right here, we'll make it straight. Inevitably, I get on that path and run into something. We all do. But may this be a message today of encouragement, of caution, and of commitment. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I believe beyond any shadow of any doubt, I have delivered the message you told me to preach to us at Olive Springs. And now, Father, we all have to make decisions of what we're going to do with these 10 things. You receive all glory and honor for it, I pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the privilege to preach your word. In Jesus' name. As your head bowed and eyes closed, in just a minute, I'm going to ask you to stand up. Karen's going to come and lead us and have thine own way, Lord. And during this invitation, will you be informal? It's okay. And just break down any barrier. If you just want to go to somebody in this congregation and hug them, if you want to hug your wife, you can do that. And wives, you want to hug your husbands, that's okay. Maybe you just want to go to someone across the pew or across the aisle or wherever and in this kind and just tell them, you know, I just thank God for you. I just believe God's led me to just build you up today. I just want to thank God for you. And maybe in the course of that, you would just want to sit where you are and just pray and say, Lord, and you can sit down. I want you to stand, but you can sit down if you need to. That's fine. And you just ask God that these 10 things. Maybe you just want to come and kneel at this altar. We're not going to bother you if you want us. I'll be here. Some of our deacons will be here. We'll be around. Make this God's invitation. Do something about what the Scriptures have taught us. And maybe this morning you don't know Jesus and you want to know how. We'll be glad to share that with you. Maybe you believe you need to, without question, join Olive Springs Baptist Church. I want to talk to you about that. You come forward. But this morning, I just want you to exhort, to build up, feel free to move. It's okay as we sing. So Lord, have your way. Take down any inhibitions. Take down the thought of what we're going to do when we leave here right now and put it totally on you. And Lord, with these 10 things we've mentioned, so simple yet so profound, break through them. And may the body of Christ exhort and edify one another, and through that may Jesus Christ be built up. That's my prayer. That's my passion. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. I want you to look at me. I want you to stand very quietly. The words are on our screen.